we were discussing the halacha of chatzitzas in the base of starim. The Gemara tells us that even though one doesn't have to have water come into those areas inside one's mouth or inside one's nose, nevertheless it has to be clean of chatzitzas. That's a dimmi Torah, dimmi de rabbanim. It has to claim that the dimmi de raisa and the rabban and ashra, the rishayim say that the whole thing is only a chumah mid rabbanim. Whichever way it is, the bottom line is that's the din that a woman has to be careful that there are no chatzitzas in the base of starim. How far constitutes the base of starim? How far up is considered to be the base of starim? So that's also a question, depending on what you think the reason for the problem was in the first place. So we mentioned last week that some Rishonim would say that the reason for the problem was, the whole reason why Chazal instituted chatzitzas in the base of starim is because sometimes the base of starim is magula, if that person opens up the mouth. Sometimes you can't see, sometimes the tongue does extend outward. Sometimes the base of starim are a little bit more begoli. Even though the truth is apidin, it's nikva base of starim, the term between base of starim, but since sometimes people get confused between base of starim and begoli, so therefore Chazal made this takwana. But if you have an area that's so besaysa there, it's impossible to come goli. No one's ever going to confuse this with the base of the machom ha-magula v'balsar. So then if you follow that approach, then that wouldn't be a problem. That's what some Mishnayim say, that if you have a chatzit all the way over there, top of the person's nose, all the way up. No one's ever going to confuse that with a machom galoy. If you have a chatzit a little bit over here, sometimes the person wiggles the nose, maybe it does look a little bit like it's revealed, but if you have a chatzit all the way up on top, so that's clearly not going to be a problem. So that's what the Ramah, in the bottom of page 42, so the Ramah makes reference to the chatzitas, particularly in the nose, and the Ramah writes, the Ramah writes in the very end of page 42, the last line of the Ramah, Gam tzricha lahaset tzoas achoytam. And a woman has to remove anything that's any dirt or anything in our nose. It shouldn't be a chashash, it shouldn't be a concern of a chatzit in the base of star. So without getting into the gory details, on the top of page 43, so the Rebbe HaShulchan quotes Machlok Sechronim, just how far up does she have to clean. So according to many poskim, the idea is that anytime you reach a point where it's not even shaykh to call it Machlok Magula, so that wouldn't pose a problem in the first place. But where exactly that line is in any given base of starim is not always so easy to determine. One thing everybody agrees to, that everybody agrees that eventually you reach a point which is mamish nothing, which is clearly not a problem. That's what's called baluah. And the Buddha has in the Tshuva that there's a difference in the realm of Kabbalah's Tumah and the realm of Chatzitza between a davra baluah and a base of starim. Base of starim means it's a little bit inside the nose, it's a little bit inside the mouth. Basically, if you look it up, you'll be able to patch around, be able to see it. Whatever person has something that's inside the body cavity itself, a person has internal stitches, that's chatzitza, that's ridiculous. So anything that's inside the body itself, that's balua inside the body, that's for sure not considered to be a problem. So that becomes a very, very fine line. How far up is considered to be balua? Everyone agrees there is some kind of a line that's crossed where it's no longer, not only is it not begoli, it's not even based on starim, it's balua. Everyone agrees there exists such a category. The Gemara says that explicitly. Where exactly you draw that line in any given part of the body becomes a little bit more questionable. So we'll talk as we go on about how those three categories played out. So goloi has to have mayim itself. Beis Hastarim doesn't have to have mayim, but it requires to be free of chatzitzas. And balua doesn't even have to be free of chatzitzas. There is a major machlokes between Rav Moshe and other poskim about some of the details of chatzitzas in the Beis Hastarim. And the context of the tshuva was on page 43, my makom number 8. Dava isha shetzivula harofim shli kansu mayim ba'ozna. A woman who has some kind of an ear infection, kind of a sensitivity, that the doctors have instructed her that water should not get into the ear. That's a big problem. How is she supposed to go to the mikvah? So imuteres b'shas tefila loseis moch tzemagefen. Could you take a cotton ball and put it into the ear? Metuva be'vezalin. So you're going to put a cotton ball full of Vaseline in that area. That's going to prevent the water from going in. So from the medical vantage point, that's okay. The problem is that from the halakha vantage point, that's a big problem. L'chora, putting something inside the ear. So inside the ear is presumably a base hastarim, unless it's so far into the ear that it's balu already, but it's not that far in. So it categorizes as a base hastarim. Isn't that an absolute problem of a chatzitz in the base of starim? So even though it's a meal, it's only a very small amount, but it's davar makbid, she hasn't planned on walking around with a cotton ball forever. So shouldn't that pose a problem? So now she's mamish in a pickle. because the doctors are telling her that she's not allowed to tova without this ka'im, and the rabbi's telling her she's not allowed to tova with the ka'im. So what's she supposed to do? So some pasuk said it's a problem. Some pasuk said she can't tova elus at all because it's a problem of a chatzitza. So Rav Moshe has a chiddush that it's not considered to be a chatzitza for the following reason. If you take a look all the way down to the bottom paragraph. Like a brisket Torah. Rav Moshe concedes that's a davar chadash. It's a chiddush in the sugya. There are really two different types conceptually of chatzitzas. Echad davar chotzeitz, davok ala guf. Sometimes you have something which is stuck to the body, literally stuck onto the body. Flowavi also chelek aguf, roy klaus shavalov mayim, kvimashu ato. When you have something that's stuck onto the body, then the water doesn't get there. That's called a lack of bias mayim. The water is not going to touch that area. The shame. You have another kind of a chatzitza. The kis of a davar echad es aguf. It's not that something is stuck to the body, it's preventing the water. Merely there's something that's covering over the body. Not stuck on, it's just sitting there on top of the body, preventing the water from getting there. Kmo ochez ba'adam, like let's say if I'm holding on to somebody else when they're being tovel. So the din is that both of these are considered to be a chatzitza. So let's say, Moshel, a person, leaving out the basis, start for a second, a person wants to go to the mikvah and they have like some gooks, rubbish stuck onto their body. So it's a mir ha-machbid, that's considered to be a problem. What if there's nothing stuck onto their body, there's something sitting on the body, they have tight clothing on. If you have mamish loose clothing on, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. If you have loose jewelry, so the water goes right under the jewelry maker. If you have loose clothing, so the Gemara says you can actually technically be tova with clothing. No, nobody would do that today, but if the clothing is like a loose t-shirt or something, the water go right under. But what if you have tight clothing on? So tight clothing, that's stuck to the body. On the other hand, it's preventing the water from going there. So both of these are considered to be a problem, but when she does survive the chatzitza, she'chopanim chotzinam ba'am yaguf. When do we say that both of these are considered to be problematic? That's only when we're dealing with the Mokam HaGoli, when we're talking about the body itself. Why? Should be even B.S. by Mamish? Because on the body, you require that the water touches the body. So whether something is blocking the water, whether it's stuck to the body, or whether something is blocking the water because it's on the body, at the end of the day, the water is not touching the body, so that's a problem. But the B.S. HaStorim, Shein Tzorach L'B.S. Mayim. But on the base of starim, you don't need the water to touch the body. Haraya, nobody opens up the mouth under the water. Nobody waits to see that the water goes up their nose. There is no such requirement. In such a case where there is no requirement of water touching the body, in lipso brak chatzitza. So then only a chatzitza is a problem. To bin harishon shedavuk shavdav chotzeis. Only something that's stuck is considered to be a chatzitza. So Moshe basically develops the following lumdus. That there are really two distinct types of problems. We colloquially call them chatzitza. We lump them all together. We say, if you have something stuck to your body, you have a shirt on your body that's tight, we say, oh, it's a chatzitza. That's true, says the Moshe. That's incorrect. That's our way of applying, just an easy way of saying it, but it's not really true. In a case when something is stuck, that's a chatzitza. Something that's very much attached to the body, that's called a chatzitza. Something that's not attached to the body, but is simply sitting on the body, is not a chatzitza. It prevents a bias maya. What's the difference? Because it's a big difference. So on the external part of the body, the Mokam Goloi, either one of those is a problem. On the internal parts, on the crevices, the parts of the Sestorim, where there is no requirement to be a slime, there is just a problem of a chatzitza. So a chatzitza will disqualify, but that's only if it's called a chatzitza. That's only if it's stuck to the body. So practically speaking, what does this mean? There's a tremendous shred of stuff to be the Ladina. This is sort of your Moshe. Comes out according to Moshe, going back to the original case about the ear. So inside the ear is at worst the base of storm. Maybe it's even a lua, but it's even aniach that it's a base of storm. The worst case scenario. So you take a cotton wool and you stick it into the ear. It's not, I just said the word stuck into the ear. It's not stuck, it's not connected to the ear. It's just sitting there inside the ear. So comes Moshe and says, that's not a chatzitza. That's the prevention of a bias mayim, which is great. We don't need bias mayim. There's no need for bias mayim.
I thought the Vaseline is making it stick to the ear.
Nah, it's not stuck. The Vaseline is just preventing the water from getting through. That's all. If you know the Vaseline, so the water will go right through the cotton. The doctors want the Vaseline. The rabbi doesn't need the Vaseline. So Moshe said, that's not a problem. That's not considered to be a chatzitza. Based on this svara, Moshe has a whole series of other potential coolers. Let's say a person has the contact lenses on. So a contact lens is considered to be a chatzitza. So we assume that the eyes are considered to be like the base of star. Even though you can see the eye, but the eye is considered to be not actually part of the body surface per se. It has the status of the base of star. Outside the eye is the body itself. But on the eyes, on top of the eyeball, that's considered to be the halach of the base of star. The person be tovel with the contacts on. So even though right now the person wants the contacts to be there, they're not interested in changing them. This is a throwback to the ring story. The same way that the Mishnah said that rings are a chatzitza. Remember the Ravid is this famous kasha. Why is a ring a chatzitza? It's not a davar hamach, but you want it to be there. And she's happy that she's wearing her rings. So the Ravid says, you're right, she's happy now, but she's not going to be happy in a few hours from now when she starts to knead the dough, when she starts to wash the dishes. So whenever you have something that you machbit on, le'achaz man, so that's a problem. Unless it's something which has a zman kavua, that we also spoke about Ramesha with the dental work, etc. But it's something that doesn't have a zman kavua, that people change at any given time, so that's considered to be a davar machbit. So I don't wear contact lenses, but I imagine that people who do, so they change their contact lenses every once in a while. How often do they wear contact lenses? You wear lenses? So people change them. It's not written in stone that I'm not going to remove them for another week. I mean, people change it, whatever it is. So people take them out when they go swimming, I don't know, whatever different things people take out their lenses for. So according to that svara, contact lenses should be a davar machbid. So Rav Moshe held that Nigra did a contact lens is not a chatzitza. Why? Because the contact lens is not stuck to the eye, it's placed on the eye. When you take off the contact, you don't have to push away and shove away to kind of yank it out. You just take it out. So that's considered to bang the cotton on the ear. So Rav Moshe said that's not considered to be a davar chatzitza. That's merely an impediment to be a smayim, but it's a base of storm, so nobody really cares about an impediment to be a smayim. That'd be a chiddush gadol of Rav Moshe.
Going to Rav Moshe, though, why doesn't he care about the
Ra'u Leviyasmayim? That's called the din of Ra'u just means that you translate to mean you can't have a chatzitza there. But this is not called a chatzitza. This is called
it's
a...
preventing what?
No, that's not called lach of Ra'u. That's called, that the water could get there, right? It's no difference in Rav Moshe between that and closing your mouth. When you close your mouth, the water can get there, but that's still called Ra'u Leviyasmayim because you can open up your mouth. So maybe you can take off the contact lens. So that's called Rav Leviyas Mayim. But it's something that's stuck, that enters into a new realm. That's called the Pasha Chatzitza. That's a Moshe's Chiddush. It's Chatzitza L'chud and a lack of Bias Mayim L'chud. But the only thing that creates a Rav Leviyas Mayim is Hilchos Chatzitza. That's a Moshe's breakthrough. Rav Moshe's Chiddush becomes potentially very helpful in another Shaila, also a fairly common Shaila. Many women have Nuva rings on. They have a device inside also Malcolm inside that area as a method of birth control, assuming that she's permitted to be using the Nuva ring. So she has a Nuva ring on, and now she went to the Bikva with the Nuva ring inside. She forgot to take it out. So some folks will take it out. That's a big problem. She's going to go back to the Bikva because it's a chashash of a chatzitza, even though it's in the base of starim. That's considered to still be a chashash. So other posts can say, no, not so simple. According to Moshe, the chore wouldn't be a problem. According to Moshe, it's in the base of storm. It's preventing Bias Mayim. But who cares that's preventing Bias Mayim? It's not a Devra Chaytse, it's not stuck to Osa Bakum, and therefore that wouldn't be a problem. Not everybody agrees to Rav Moshe. There are some who argue that the whole Shulchan Moshe is not correct. So if you disagree with that Svar of Moshe, then you're going to disagree with all of the above, all of those consequences of the halacha. So one of those who disagreed with Rav Moshe was the Badi HaShulchan. The Badi HaShulchan said that the Badi HaShulchan writes that he thinks that the original case of the Gemara of Chatzitza in the base of Storm is against Rav Moshe. He says that the original case of the Gemara, Chatzitza Beis HaStor, we had last week, was the woman who went to the mikveh with the chicken bones in between her teeth. So the Badi HaShulchan said, a chicken bone in between her teeth, that's just sitting there. That's just blocking the water. It's not, this is a very, it depends on what English word you use, it's not stuck between her teeth, says the Badi HaShulchan. It's just there between her teeth. He thinks that a chicken bone between the teeth is closer to the model of contact lenses. Closer to maneuvering, it's closer to the cotton in the ear, and the Gemara still calls it a chatzitza, to which Ramesh would clearly respond, no, that's not true. That a chicken bone, kishmo kane, which is stuck between the teeth, that's something that's embedded in between the teeth, that's considered to be like that's like a bandage that's stuck onto the body, that's not a dover chaytzeitz. So Ramesh would say that a chicken bone is not the same as contact lenses. So very, very dachastik of machlekes, to Ramesh and the body of Shulchan. Everybody agrees that you don't need real Bias Mayim in the base system. Everybody agrees that a chicken bone is considered to be a chatzitza. That's a Pesach Gemara. The question is, where does everything else in the middle fall in? So Rav Moshe said everything short of a chicken bone is considered to be just placed on the base of star, and then it's not a problem. and others would disagree. So how do we pass the halacha? How do we pass the shaila? So I go back to page 44. So Rav Moshe writes at the end of the paragraph, the end of the first paragraph, my Maimon number 9. So Rav Moshe writes, well, Tam Zanira, the Hamishkafayim Shanasu Mechadash. I don't know the history of contact lenses, but when Rav Moshe wrote this truth, he says they're really, you know, when the contact lenses, I don't know. 70s, I don't remember contact lenses as a little kid. So Tam
Zanira. Rav Moshe write that?
I don't know. If we could look back at the truth, does he say it? Doesn't say. The new things, shakorin, contacts. In case you weren't sure what they were, they're called contacts. Now he describes, in case you're not sure what he's talking about, he describes what you do with them. Shemasimim mitoch la'af apayim umakifim es kol ha'ayim. He says, you stick them under your eyelids, whatever it is, and they cover up the whole eye. Shumokom beis astorim. Shagam keimish lo nisdab usham b'devek. They're not stuck there with glue. They're not stuck there to the eye. She'enim chaytzim. They're not considered to be a problem. V'im shochal asir, but if she forgot to remove them, nishkefelech ein tzoycha tzvilacher. She doesn't have to be terrible again. Then Rav Moshe concedes, v'rach lechet chila, kevin shechol asiram bi'atzma. So he says, it's so easy to remove contacts. Tzrichal asir, she should remove them. Why? Shum yeis toiv. The Pasuk says, v'yos tov atigara. If you're able to do good, don't do bad. In other words, it's a phrase that the post can use. If it's so easy to solve a problem, so solve the problem. Don't rely on a cool achidish in and here. Moshe knew that other people disagreed with him. So he says that when it comes to contact lenses, it's so easy to remove. So you should remove it. However, when it came to the ear, so what do you tell the woman? No, we want you to be frum, we want you to be extra careful. Don't put in the cotton. Tell not to put in the cotton, so she's going to get an infection in the ear. So that's not fair. So Rav Moshe said, when you're dealing with a shasat chak, a woman who has an infection inside her ear, so the doctor says she can't go unless she has the cotton in. So Rav Moshe says, no. So that's all the ikar din. Again, what he claims is the ikar din. As long as it's not stuck, it would be okay. Whereas when it comes to contacts and other kinds of things, the person should try to remove it beforehand. So this is a shayla in the poskim that we always tell people to remove the new ring. The woman has a new ring and we tell her she should remove it. She does do it herself, doesn't go to the doctor, she removes it herself. So and then she puts in a different one. So she should definitely remove it. Shouldn't get involved in this mother. Moshe himself writes the Yostav al Tikara. However, the person forgot to remove the new ring, so then there are different. Then there are different svaras perhaps to be made. Well, first of all, you always have a Moshe to rely on the Eved. And number two, in the case of the new ring, it's not even so clear that the new ring is called the Beis Hastarim. The new ring may be in far enough that it's called the Redi Balua. Remember we mentioned before that everyone agrees that you reach a certain part of the body cavity that's already so Balua in, that that's not considered to be a problem. So there's a sugi actually with Sechaz Nida about Huchas Tumah and Tara, but the Gemara talks about also Makom Shavu'isha, just how far is considered to be the Balua and how far is called the Beis Hastarim. Again, you have to figure out the biology and the halacha to figure out exactly whether the new ring is really truly a base of star, or maybe it's even better. So there are grounds to be made. The chetchila, all the mikvahs tell people they should take off the contacts, take out the new rings, all the stuff should go. But the evidence, if she went ahead and did it, so then maybe there would be more grounds to be made. Remember years ago, there used to be a fellow who, I forgot already his name, the fellow who learned from Lakewood, this goes back already, the date, how many years this goes back? This goes back in the summer. It was the summer when I stopped going to California. I used to go to, this is what Jesus Bishurim originally said. This goes back about 15 years ago. So we used to go to California for the summers. And then there was one summer, the summer that my in-laws were getting ready to move, so we realized we weren't going to California anymore. So I had to find another place to spend summer with my kids. It was before I just like all of this. So there was a camp in the mountains at the time. I don't think it existed in the camp. It was called Camp Yisharim, if I'm not mistaken. I remember it was up in Lewiston Manor that it had a short tekufa. So they wanted me to come up and spend the summers there and learning this. I tried it for like 2 weeks or so. At the end of one of the summers in LA, so I went up there for a week or two. So I was saying a bunch of shurim. There was all the counselors. There was very kids were regular like, from most of that community. The counselors very shivish, staff. So I was saying shiurim. It was a strange thing. I was saying shiurim to a bunch of guys from Lakewood, a bunch of from fellows. So there was one guy who I became friendly with. Became friendly. It was really a long time. I found his name already. I became friendly with, and he used to periodically he would call me from Lakewood during the course of the year, talking, learning, and halacha. Interesting things would come up. He always wanted to hear what my take on things was. So I remember once he called me to ask me, what do I think about the Bidiyavid? If a woman went to the mikvah with an Uber ring, what do I say about that? So I said, Moshe, Moshe Bidiyavid to rely on, and you have quotes, some folks can say it's a balua, and a hair. So I said, no, she went already, she got a husband already, I'll send the woman back to the man. You know, I said, no, Bidiyavid, I don't think we're going to make such a big deal about it. So he told me, he was happy to hear that. He said he heard that's the psak in the Lakewood Mikvelso, so he just wanted to make sure that we were all the same thing. So I said, okay. So he said, why are you Mikvelso? The Lakewood, we're all the same thing. We're all relying on the Ebbet and all this stuff. But the woman should take it out. The woman should take it out the context, take it out everything. If she's mom is stuck for medical reasons, so then those who have to rely on Ramosha, so rely on Ramosha. So we continue on now on page 44 to the next major topic of Torah Chatzitzis.
Based on that, if let's say a woman is traveling far to get to the club, and she's about to take out of context or whatever.
And she came back 2 hours later, would they send her back again?
Again,
you have to, Rav has to figure out, you have to figure out what the take is going to be on the, each and every Shalom. The Ikra din is, Ramosha was Mekel. Ramosha was the Pesach Ador, so Ramosha was Mekel on it. The next major sugya starts to talk about all kinds of wounds, all kind of scabs, and then modern day stitches and casts and all kind of medical stuff that can potentially pose a problem with a chatzitza. So the Gemara already talks about the Gemara on the first of the Marim Kamos after CD 46, Hani Rabbi Kosilta. The Gemara talks about scabs and blood that's there. From bloodletting, so I don't think most of us have bloodletting shadows as much as that, but it doesn't matter why, whether you're bloodletting or whether you have other wounds, it's all the same kinds of things. So the Gemara talks about different issues, whether it's considered to be a problem or not. So one of the issues that the Shulchan Aruch says is, the second of Maram Kov is, Dam Yavish al Amaka Chaytzeitz, that if it's a dried blood already, so it's considered to be a davra chaytzeitz. That's what the Gemara differentiated between, whether it's a very, very fresh cut, whether it's an older cut already, it's already scabbing, things of that nature. So the bottom line is, the starting point is, that if a woman has scabs, which basically dried blood, so that's what Shulchan Aruch writes, and the second of the Maamar comes in the second line of Fikach, Isha balas chitidim tzvicha lachuf b'mayim machis rachachu. If a woman has scabs on her body, so she has to sit in the water and let it soak in the water until the scabs soften up. And therefore what? So what are we trying to accomplish, and what happens if we don't accomplish what we're trying to accomplish? So the goal is to try to soften up the scabs. And then what? So if you take a look at the Taz in Sifkat and Yudalit, so the Taz quotes that quotes the Hebrew Marshal, in the fifth, sixth line into the Taz. Hebrew Marshal, Hago Achaz El Shano, the Gerav Lagabi Tefillah, if you have a scab for Tefillah, Tzvich Lahosir, you have to remove the scab. It doesn't just mean you soften them and then go to the mikvah. It means you soften them so that they'll come off. And what if they don't come off? Then you have to remove them. Alpha Gavshe Koiv Lahabe, even though it hurts to remove the scab, one would be required to remove the scab. So that's one opinion that's quoted from Zerushon. It's actually quoted from one of the Balei Tosfos, the Sami Kutzi. Other Rishonim disagree with that. So the Mordechai, in the very small print over here, so the Mordechai says, we can find it in the small print. Somewhere in the middle here. I'm not sure we even have it here. But somewhere in here, the Rishon quote that it's not true. It's something that's very painful to remove, so that in and of itself does not pose a problem. So when the Shulchan Aruch writes, you have to soften the scabs, but that means you soften them, and hopefully that'll make it easy to come off. And what if it's sitting there for a half hour and it's still hard to come off? So whereas some Rishon say you have to try to pick it off anyway, other Rishon say no, you can leave it the way it is. What's Rishon? Why is it you leave it the way it is? So the Rishonim explain, those Rishonim who are making the Shaila, they say that anything that's mitzar a person to remove, so that almost by definition is called an inner machbid. How can they possibly call it a davar machbid? If it's hurting me to take it out, so it's the antithesis of machbid. I dafka wanted to be there because to remove it now is going to be painful. So that if that's the svara, then one has to be careful because that doesn't work all the time. We wouldn't say that by external kinds of things. That's the first thing to point out. The Mishnah speaks about if a woman has a splinter. The Mishnah says the fair, if you have a splinter, so if the splinter is really, really embedded into the skin, it's not even on the surface level at all, so that's like balua, and it's not considered to be a chatzitz altogether. But if it's partially above the surface level, and it's painful to remove, the Mishnah says it's still a problem. It's considered to be a davar chatzitz. So how come you don't say, well, it's painful, so whatever's painful is okay? So many folks can say, whatever's painful is okay, if it's mamish part of the body. A scab is still naturally part of the body. It's the body created the blood, created all the stuff that coagulated and caused the scab. So we could still treat that as being part of the body, as long as the person really, really is paying to remove it. But if you have a davar b'chutz, how can you say that a piece of wood is part of your body? It's not part of your body. That's clearly a davar b'chutz. So again, getting back to the scab story, so there are some folks who are mekel, that as long as it's painful to remove, that would be alright. And there are others who would be machbe even on that. How we noyeg on this, Shaila, son, depends who we are. So the sir that I have on this is that when you have a woman has scab, so we instruct them to try to soak them, like the Shulchan Aruch writes, you try as best as you to soak them. But if for whatever reason, you know, you're soaking, it's garnish, it's still not coming off, and it's going to be painful to try to pull away at it, so then yeshul hakol. And again, the whole thing is a mir machbid anyway, so minat Torah is for sure not a problem. It's a problem with drabbanim, so again, we don't take it lightly. But on the other hand, to tell a woman that she's got to start bleeding and start cutting her body apart, taking her things off, it's going to be very, very painful. So then, kedai wa mekil mismachalem, one is a right to be making. So again, it's a last resort. We try lechatchila to try to soak as best as we can, but lemaisa, soaking doesn't always work. So therefore, b'diavad, we're going to have to rely on the svar of the mekila. Page 45, so Shachar quotes on my book number 5, Ritiyash alamaka chaytetet, that if you have a bandage on top of a wound, so the bandage itself is considered to be a chaytet. That's right out of a Mishnah. So the question is, why exactly is that? Why is a bandage considered to be a chesed? So the Badi Yeshulchan quotes the Machlokes Acharonim. Why? That's, everyone agrees that it's true, but it's not clear what the reason is. And the two reasons why it's a problem are going to have very significant nafkamin lalocha. So if we take a look at my Rambam number 45, Chesed says, V'yalpa pishi rotsa shetir iti al besora. Even though, forget, she wants the ritir, she wants the bandage to be there. L'maya refuasamaka, she wants it to either help in the healing, or she wants to keep it there because otherwise it hurts. She has the bandage there either for medicinal purposes, so she has the antibiotic on or something, or maybe she has it there just for protective, she just want to bang the open wound. So maybe one should argue that's called the davar she'eino machbid, and that should be okay. No. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says the fate, that's the problem. Obviously, the Mishnah is assuming it is a davar machbid. The question is, why is it davar machbid? Conceptually, why is that called the davar that she cares about? You have to offer ketch, you would rather that it stays there. There are those who say, so there are some who say that a bandage is by definition, as the Mishnah says explicitly, that's the starting point. The Mishnah says beferish that a bandage is a chatzitza. So some are right, because after all, a bandage is something that's removed all the time. People change their bandages all the time. People check to make sure that it's right, that it's clean, that it's healing. So people patch around bandages all the time. So that's called a davar machbid. So you see that people don't always keep the bandage in place. The achirim kasvan other achirim right now, you don't even need that reason. She'af below the achashav kemachbid kevin she'asid al asiru lebasof k'she'is rapi amaka. Just the mere fact that she's going to remove it later, right now she's not going to touch the bandage, but she's going to remove it in a week from now, that in and of itself makes it called a davar machbid. So what's the point of contention? It's slight nuance of contention. So that's the machlokes of the Zichron Yosef. That's the smart about Ramosha, about the temporary fillings back from last week or 2 weeks ago. We mentioned that everybody agrees that a ring is a chatzitza because people like to remove their rings every once in a while. So some of the Acharonim, Zichron Yosef, Ramosha, and others have said that that only makes sense when it's something that could be removed at any given moment. But if there's a set time to remove it and you're not touching it, but after that set time comes, so then that's not called a davar machbid, as Ramosha swore by the temporary fillings that we discussed the pros and cons 2 weeks ago. But according to that svara, if you have something that really, really has a set zman kavua, it's not being touched till a week passes, so then that's not called a davar hachetz. That's not a problem. Another chacham says it's not true. Another chacham says it's not true. That anything that's going to be removed in any shape or form, it's going to be removed now, a week, a month, a year, it doesn't matter. If at the end of the day, it's not staying there forever, that's called a davar hachetz. Notwithstanding the fact that there's zman kavua. That seems to be the issue the achronim are debating here as well. Those who follow Rav Moshe Svara, that only something that can be removed at any moment's notice is called a davar hachetz, they have to explain that the bandage of Chazal, that's a problem, means because you take it off at any moment's notice. In Tim Slow, you would have a bandage that's there for a week, according to that Svara would be okay. But according to the second Acharam, the group of Acharam will say no, that even the temporary things that may be a chatzitza, because they're going to be removed eventually, even though they're not going to be removed now, but there's a set time that you're not going back to the dentist for another month, but it's going to come off eventually. Even that's called a chatzitza. So they would explain that the bandages are a chatzitza, not because they're patched with now. They're a chatzitza because they're going to be removed later. Might have to mean that this whole story, very, very real enough. A woman has a wound, and she has a bandage on top of the wound. And it wasn't a type of bandage that she put on herself, easy come, easy go. The doctor put it on, and the doctor said, don't you touch this bandage for another week. If you open it up, it's going to get infected, it's going to start to bleed, it's going to get hurt there. So the doctor gives us instructions, don't touch this for another week. Now she wants to know, could she go to the mikvah with the bandage on? Assuming it's the kind of bandage that can get wet. If it's the kind of bandage that can't get wet, it's a whole other problem. But let's even, best case scenario, it's the type of a thing on her body that can be exposed to her. She's a lot of bathe, she's a lot of shower with it on. So she wants to know, can I go to the mikvah with the bandage on? So here's the Echorim say, go to the mikvah with the bandage on. Retiya shalom akha chetetza, it's a mishnah. The mishnah is the favorite, and it's a problem. So, other Echorim respond, no. The medrash, when is it a problem? That's only a type of bandage that's almost like a non-professional bandage. A bandage that's played with every night. She switches the bandage herself, she takes it off whenever she wants. That kind of a bandage is a problem. But if it's a kind of a bandage that's there for a set amount of time, for a week, the doctor said, don't come back to it for another week and don't touch it for another week, so that would that would be okay. So that's the same shaila that the posim had by the inside the mouth, by the temporary fillings, is the same shaila concerning these kinds of bandages. Now again, Rav Moshe was nakel inside the mouth. The question is, would Rav Moshe Svara carry over to the bandage also? So if you go with just pure, mamsh sak, just pure logic, so that's the same shaila. What's the difference? If you're willing to call it an eno machbet inside the mouth, you're willing to call it an eno machbet on the surface of the body as well. But maybe you can have the following approach. Maybe you could say that inside the mouth is a little bit more lenient. Maybe our standards are a little bit lower, because after all, chatzitza in the mouth, and maybe only the rabbanan according to many rishonim. So just because any given posik is making on a basis of starim doesn't automatically translate they can apply that same kula to the body itself. The body is a little bit more chomer. So yesh v'yesh. There are different approaches about this. So there were those, again, I never met Rav Moshe, so I never spoke to Rav Moshe about this. There are those who say that Rav Moshe was never really make outside of the mouth, outside of the base of star. He didn't want to apply that svara outside the mouth. On the other hand, according to the straight svara, it really should apply. The body of Shulchan quotes that according to Rav Moshe's svara, so logically it should be true for the bandages as well. So again, so those women who have these kinds of bandages, and this is all assuming they can get wet. Very often it's a moot point, it can't get wet anyway. But him comes slowly that it can get wet. So then maybe one could argue, according to Rav Moshe's faith, then you would have a right to be to extend it as well. And we spoke about Rav Moshe's original kula even inside the mouth. We said a lot of people disagree with that. But again, Yesh V'Yesh are different opinions about this. In Eretz Yisrael, there are more machmer about this. Eretz Yisrael, the poskim, Yashin and others, so didn't buy into this whole kula, even inside the mouth. They didn't think that whole Tichon Yosef should be accepted. And in America, Yesh V'Yesh, some are machmer against Rav Moshe, and others a little bit more maker like Rav Moshe. Again, even within our Adar Lama, so we have different opinions within our community. Some Rabbanim have them start to be a little more maker on this, some a little more machmer in the Shaila. So a lot of this is going to impact on a lot of these questions in terms of bandages. And then a potentially related issue is issues such as stitches and issues such as casts and all these kinds of things, other kinds of more modern day contraptions that are put onto wounds and injuries of that nature. So a lot of it's going to depend upon some of the basic lumbus that we're presenting now, the Machlokes and Moshe that I'll mention next week. So I'll try to continue to speak a little bit about the stitches, a little bit about the casts, and other related things. We move on.